The title to my message today is The Humanity of God and the Divinity of Christ. That's the humanity of God and the divinity of Christ. If you would, you could please go with me in the book of John, the great book of John, chapter 11. And you can follow along, for in this chapter is the portion I'm aiming at tonight, and it's always been a blessing to me, and I pray it will be a blessing to you. John chapter 11, and it's all about the consequences, if you will. It's all about the death of Lazarus, and we'll begin reading in verse 17. And I want to read down just to cover what we're dealing with tonight in its totality. I want to read from verse 17 down to 37. Now, if you have your Bible, you can go along, follow along with me, or if not, you can listen carefully. We'll be dealing with this in and out throughout the sermon. Okay? Verse 17. This is Jesus and the Resurrection and the Life. That's the semi-title I have for this particular group of verses we have here. Okay, verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lying in the grave 4 days already. Now we're talking about Lazarus here, okay? Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews, they came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You can imagine the way she was feeling. I'm sure she was broken right through her spirit. If you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know, here's the flip side of what she's thinking, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Well, Jesus saith unto her in verse 23, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And verse 27. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, she said, I believest that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which has come to this world. Oh, what faith Martha had. What faith she had indeed. Now, I said to you, or pardon me, if I said to you, we just read these 20 verses out of John, if I asked you out of these 20 verses that we just read, is there any one phrase or one verse that impacts the reader more than the others? I know they're all great verses, but is there any one verse that kind of stands out and impacts the reader more than the others? Well, some of you might say, well, verse 19, let's read what verse. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. That's fine. And, okay, now what really comes to the forefront in verse 19? What is it you see the most? And you know what? It's not even written there. That's your hint. It's community caring. Community caring. Now, and those exact words are not even in the verse. Now, no. Don't get me wrong. I'm not adding scripture to scripture here. I'm dividing the truth. I'm helping us to understand, okay? So don't go off in that direction. Community caring. Would you not think that this entire community of Bethany was of one mind and one accord? Well, it sure looks that way. They came together to comfort Mary and Martha in their great time of need and sadness. So they're a community that cares, right? Now, there are two words in verse 23. Verse 23, the words that Jesus spoke. Here they are. Rise again. Rise again. Two words. Now, these are pretty powerful and hope-filled words when you say, rise again. That's what Jesus spoke to Martha. He shall rise again. Now, thy brother shall rise again. Now, first let me say this. Can Satan make the dead rise again? Oh, no. But Jesus can. Jesus can. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, but the two most powerful words from chapter 11 that not only had a tremendous impact on the people of Bethany, but subsequently would inspire the entire world were what? I haven't said them yet, no. The shortest verse in the Bible. There's your clue. Right. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Now, I ask you, can we really ever wrap our minds around such a claim that the Savior of the world, the God of the universe, actually wept over a man who had been dead for 4 days? Can we? Well, I don't know about you, but what we see here, what we really see here, is the title of my script, the title of my sermon, my message, The Humanity of God. The Humanity of God. Let's have a quick prayer before we get into the meat of this wonderful message. Oh, I love this one. I just love it. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've given me this message. You placed it on my heart, Lord. You've given me the words to write, and you provided me with all the words I need from your holy and precious word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that those who hear this message will understand, Lord, just how much you love this world, Lord. You love the sinner, but you hate the sin. Oh, Lord God, please bless these words now. And may you be lifted up and glorified. In Jesus' name, I pray. Okay? Now, God walked among us, not only in the spirit, but also in the flesh. Why the flesh, you ask? To relate with his creation, to show his humanity without giving up his divinity. You got that? To show his humanity without giving up his divinity. And because he wept, because Jesus wept, are people not more able to relate to him? Of course. I mean, this is beyond incredible. Verses 40 to 44 at the gravesite, having been dead 4 days. 4 days. Would Martha was very concerned and thinking that he's been dead for 4 years. She wondered, would he not now have begun to decay? And in her own words, she said, What? He stinketh. He stinketh. Oh, nonetheless, Jesus asked that the stone be removed from the cave entrance. Wow. Verse 41. So God the Father would get the glory, of course, in front of them all. In front of them all. They'd all see this. Jesus didn't say, everybody turn their back, did he? Or close your eyes. No. They all witnessed this, all those who were there. And in front of them all, Jesus lifted up his eyes toward heaven and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He said it in front of the people, the crowd that was gathered there, so they would understand and see for themselves that Jesus was there representing God the Father, giving the glory to him. Everything that Jesus did when he walked this earth, and I cannot emphasize this enough, he did to glorify his Father in heaven. And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Wow. Oh, I can almost hear him. When he comes in the rapture, Tom, come forth. You know, I know it probably won't be exactly like that, but I'm looking forward to it, aren't you folks? When the day Jesus will come in the clouds of glory and the trump will sound and the voice of the archangel will call out, come forth. Oh. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And yeah, I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Well, you can be sure his voice echoed throughout the land when he said, Martha, Lazarus, come forth. His voice would have echoed throughout the land. I venture to say that even the beasts of the field and that which crawled upon the ground perked their ears as the Father and Son communed to the glory of God. You know, when Jesus talks, when God talks, everything around seems to stand still. There's like a great stillness about us. You may not hear it, but when he talks, everybody and everything listens. The wind may have stood still. The heat of the sun may have that allowed the land to stay cool during these precious moments. And look at verse 44. And he that was dead, what? Came forth. Would he dare not? Would he dare not to come forth? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That's what I want on my headstone, or my cross, or written in the mud on top of my grave. I don't care. I want it there. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I asked my dear wife, she'd do that. I'm sure she will. He that was dead, guess what? Came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, or unto them, loose him and let him go. And verse 45 is where the glory of God shows its drawing power. Verse 45. Then many than many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things that Jesus did, believed on him. Wow. Can you get the picture? Many, it says many, not just a few, than many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did, believed on him. Wow. Now I know a lot of people believe because they see. Back in those days, they saw Jesus. They saw his miracles. Today, what? We live by faith. Right? We have not seen yet, but we will see. That's God's promise to us. I refer you to John 20:29, when Jesus reprimanded Thomas for his doubt, saying, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. What a resounding statement. Thomas, the great doubter, because he has seen Jesus, he believes. But what about those who have not seen and yet believe? Blessed are they. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed. Now, these were the days when faith was made visible. However, since the cross, faith has become the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Today we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, if you want to look it up. Now, the death and the resurrection of Lazarus has been subjected to many criticisms, far and wide, as you might expect, throughout New Testament times. Oh, yes, everybody has a different idea in their head, a different thought of what was being said here, or even if this was being said. Oh, woe unto them, it is better. They had heard nothing at all. Throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament times, and still today, if you notice chapter 11, verse 1 in the good book of John, chapter 11, verse 1, let's see, we are told, here we are. Now a certain man was sick, named, who? Lazarus, of where? Bethany. Now, we're not told what his sickness was, but in verse 4, when Jesus, who was some distance away now, he wasn't right there, he was some distance away, he received word. What did he say? He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Wow. Well, Jesus knew every detail, of course. He's God. He knew his friend Lazarus was sick, and he knew he would have to pass through death. But why? So that Jesus himself could raise him up to the glory of God. To the glory of God. That is so important. Not so all the people could see it, but to the glory of God. How wonderful. Look at verse 6. Sounds almost cruel in a way. Listen. When he had heard, therefore, that he, Lazarus, was sick, he abode 2 days still, 2 days more, in the same place where he was. Well, obviously he wasn't in any big hurry, was he? He wasn't running to be there in time for the funeral. And by the time Jesus did finally arrive, his friend had already been in the grave for 4 days. 4 days. I mean, daisies were likely beginning to grow at the entrance of the tomb. Tell me, was Jesus being cold-hearted? And why would he tell Mary and Martha that the sickness of Lazarus was not unto death, when it was obvious that Lazarus had already been dead? Oh, it would be reasonable to believe that Jesus wasn't being honest with them, wasn't it? But not so. Not so. When Jesus said the sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God, what did he really mean? What did he really mean? Lazarus would pass through death and become whole again to show. And it's right there in the middle of verse 40. For the glory of God. To show the glory of God. Everything that Jesus did during his earthly ministry had one main purpose: to glorify his Father. That's why he went to the cross. To glorify his Father. The sisters figured their brother was surely beyond hope, since 4 days had passed. A lot of people try vainly to recognize the resurrection of Lazarus to that of Jesus Christ. Well, no, no. To help erase these thoughts, to help get rid of these thoughts, God, pay attention now, God kept Lazarus in the grave for 4 days, while Jesus was entombed 3 days and three nights. Lazarus would not be a type of Christ. Okay, you got that? Now, verse 33. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, Mary, when he saw Mary weeping, and the Jews also weeping, keep that thought in mind, the Jews also weeping, which had come with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Verse 34, and he said, where have ye laid him? Like he didn't know. Where is he? Where'd you put him? Then, when Jesus wept, when he literally wept, and the Jews saw this, they said, behold, how he loved him. Indicating Lazarus, of course. Behold, how he loved him. Then a time of doubt. Verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even that this man should not have died? I mean, he opened the eyes of the blind. Could he not have caused this man not to die? Why did he let him die? I mean, it wasn't spectacular enough that Jesus raised him from the dead. Now they're saying that if he raised him from the dead, if he had great power, this great power, then why let him die in the first place? You know the answer, right? To glorify God. Glorify God. Now, I'm getting close to the end. I want to sum up, and I'd like you to pay close attention. This is such a lovely, lovely, lovely account of Lazarus and Jesus and the humanity of God and the divinity of Christ. What do we actually learn from this teaching from God's Word? Well, we learn that Jesus loves us. He loves people. Not only Mary and Martha, but also their brother, Lazarus. The people knew this, and they were encouraged by it. That's important, encouragement. We learn not only did Jesus show his humanity, but he also showed his divinity. You figure out that? He did not only show his humanity, but his divinity. He's his divine power, his divine being. And we learn that the faith some people have for God can sometimes be very fickle. And that the natural tendency of man is to question not only what God does, but also his reasons for doing it. For this cause alone, we are at best borderline Christians. Borderline. And finally, what I believe and urge that you also agree, that while Jesus Christ, while our blessed Savior, our blessed Lord and Savior, walked this earth, everything he did, which bears repeating over and over and over again, was for that one central purpose, to glorify his Father in heaven. Wow, the humanity of God, the Father, as shown through the divinity of God, the Son. How wonderful. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.